The July 1st rain report is coming up in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the summertime studios of the Rain Report, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with another rain report. The ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, is in its second century. So what is it doing now to make it a more viable ham radio organization than before? Its CEO, Tom Gallagher, NY2RF, spoke about that at the 2017 Dayton Hamvention.
For the most part, our ad revenues have stabilized. Now, this is not only good for us, but it's good for the community. When advertisers are advertising, that means people are doing things, and that's good for us. I had a bad hiccup last summer when I saw some of our advertising fall off for the first time in probably 30 years, but they're coming back. Our membership has not, but for the first 4 months of this year, ARRL operated in the black on an operating basis. That's the first time in a while that we've had 4 months in a row without a deficit. And this is entirely due to the care and the diligence of ARRL staff, who have done an enormous number of things to make the organization run more smoothly and to save money. The best example, standing over in their corner, Bob Inderbitzen, who through our mailroom discovered that we were overpaying to ship stuff. It was just a matter of a computer glitch. Saved us $65,000 a year. That's a real benefit. That's what your staff is doing, and they're doing it every day, and I'm enormously proud of them. And if you want to see how hard they work, go over in the other building and follow them. Watch my wife, too. She's working hard as well. We said, where can we go to find help to do things that are of interest to all of us? Well, we can turn to industry, and we've certainly had a lot of support from industry, but we've never really cultivated them in a disciplined way. We're doing that now. How many donors do we talk to on a regular basis and find out what they're thinking instead of just going to them once a year and saying, can you write a check? It's more than that. It's a relationship. And one of the things that we're doing, because the ARRL board is elected, we've made some changes, some minor changes in the foundation board. And what we were hoping to do was make the foundation board look a little bit more like the United States of America. So our first addition to the foundation board is a delightful young man from New Britain, Connecticut. Dan is, in real life, is an outreach director for our state representative to the Connecticut Assembly. He is also an elected official. He's an alderman in the town of New Britain. He served on the school board in his short tenure. He's only 30 years old. So he understands how a lot of the machinery works. But the most important thing, from my perspective, is that Dan is only 6 years out of college. He's gone to college on scholarships, on jobs, and on student loans, and he's very close to understanding what it takes for a young person to go to college. And we need that kind of insight in the foundation. So he joined the foundation board. Today he's taking his technician test. And I'll let you know. But he's a wonderful young man and very close to what young people are doing and feeling very much the pinch of the financial bind of going to college. ARRL Foundation, your money helps send young people to college. We thank you very much. When we piloted at Grace Academy a nationally scalable program to teach electronics and RF technology to young folks in the sort of 7th, 8th, ninth grade level. We didn't know what we were on to. We were invited in to do it. It's the first foray under my aegis where we've done actual teaching in schools. Often our instructors in Teachers Institute, we have the opportunity to teach teachers, but we've never actually gotten into the schools. So Mike Corey from our emergency communications team and two young students from Southington High School, two very accomplished hams, went in and taught this class under Mike's supervision so we could learn how to do it, so we could learn how to teach. And from it, we have produced a curriculum for Teachers Institute to take away in the summer so that our teachers, when they leave, have materials that they can work with right away. And we are in the process of developing programs that teach how to instruct, not only in schools, but for volunteer instructors, maybe even someday for Aries training. We're learning how to train trainers using the model that was created at TI. The second thing we're doing is we're collaborating with partners. Before I joined the ARRL, I told the Inquisition Squad from the board that was interviewing me, I said, we don't have to do this all by ourselves. There are a lot of organizations that share common interests, share common goals with us. One of them is Makers Faire. Today, David Katowski and one of our junior editors are out at San Mateo at the Makers Faire out there. They're running a special alley for Radio Row. We've got our banners up. They've got 100 code practice oscillator kits because that's what the kids like to put together, and a mess of soldering guns and soldering irons, and they're having at it, and that's a great partnership. Anybody attending from ARRL gets a 20% discount on the ticket, so I'll be interested to see what the draw is.
You're listening to an excerpt from a 2017 Dayton Hamvention talk given by Tom Gallagher, NY2RF, CEO of the ARRL since April 2016. We'll conclude this excerpt from Tom's talk in a moment. The Rain Report updates Saturdays on therainreport.com, at The Rain Report on Twitter, supposedly, and via iTunes. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
We're going to expand our curriculum and our educational materials, but not just in paper. Ultimately, we want to see them online. We want to see them on apps. We want to see them in MOOCs. If you don't know what a MOOC is, find a 12-year-old, and he'll explain it to you. That's the way young people learn. That's what's important to them, and we want to reach them the way they want to be reached. And then we're evaluating new programs and content for first-time HAM members. Let me tell you what the major issue is right now with new members. Every year we generate about 30,000 new HAMs. 15% of them join ARRL as members. Half of that number disconnect at the end of a year. And they tell us, because we've done extensive market research on them this year, we've done focus interviews on them, they say, I don't know anything. I got my license, and I don't know what to do with it. I don't know how to plug the power supply in. I don't know how to put up a proper antenna. You know, we've all forgotten how little we knew when we were at their level. So we're going to focus some of our educational modalities on that section of folks. Those who have gotten a license and who are not on the air, and that's about half of them, never get on the air. That's the richest mine for us to turn our attentions. We're going to be doing it with video media and other things, including a series of 100-second tech tips. But this is designed to reach the very, very bedrock beginners that show up at your club knowing nothing, and I know that you welcome them in, but they need a lot of help. Our college amateur radio initiative, which began at Boxborough last fall, and I'm not sure it's a program yet, because if it's a program, I didn't ask permission, and I guess I probably should ask for forgiveness. But it was just an idea. Being up in New England and being in the company of a lot of colleges, we decided to have a couple of forums for collegiate amateur radio enthusiasts. We had two of them at Boxborough. They were standing room only. And I came out of those forums thinking, we may have something here. We started up a Facebook group, Collegiate Amateur Radio Initiative. We went from 50 to 500 members, about 275 schools, beginning with the U.S. Military Academy at West Point that jumped on there with the boys and girls from Yale and Harvard, and then it just spread across the country. Michigan State University. Right now, there's a vibrant community going on, and if you all have not visited with the bright young college people who are manning our booth right by Expo, I urge you to go over and say hello to them. They're very impressive, and I'll tell you, even though they're millennials, and you really can't ever tell a millennial what to do, right? I got three of them, so I know. they'll listen. They want to learn from you. They need your help. And they're very, very stimulating conversation companions. So we made a promise that we were going to take this show on the road to every HamFest we could. We took it to HamVention. In the process, we picked up two brothers. One is a PhD in electrical engineering from Florida. His brother's working on a master's degree at Ohio. And they came to staff our meeting there. And they're going to staff the forum this afternoon, I think at 1 o'clock. What made a lot of this possible and gave this a certain sense of legitimacy is that the Ed Snyder Foundation stepped up and gave us a substantial grant to fund the cost of flying these young people around and putting them in front of you. So we couldn't have done it with Ed, and it's typical of the way we're approaching programs now. We want to get programs supported going in so we don't have to dilute membership dues and membership dollars on these new programs. Over at Grace Academy, what did we learn? We learned a lot. We learned that instructors work really well with young students. That's Austin Magillo, NYUIS, teaching five girls from Grace Academy how to make a Michigan Mighty Mite 40. And they are engaged and they are fascinated. This young man is an exceptional instructor. Maddie Shea, who is his partner, AA1 Charlie Tango, is also an instructor in that program, overseen by Mike Corey. This thing really worked. While the interest in it was very high at the beginning, it dwindled down to what you would expect, about 10 students, and you'll see we had success in one place. But one of the things we do is we emphasize the science, we emphasize the fun, and we don't push the licensing so hard. If they're interested, if they're motivated, as many of these girls are, because this is a very good private school, they'll come to you and they'll want to take the test. We're going to try this in the fall with their brother school, Covenant Academy, which is all male. Just so you know, these young ladies come at 7:30 in the morning to school. They go home at 5:30, so we provide some of the enrichment in the afternoon. They go to school 11 months a year, and they're very, very impressive young people. Every once in a while, you pick a winner. And this is the first license that was issued from Grace Academy. It went to Suisei Fo, who is a very bright and energetic young woman, was born in a Thai refugee camp. She's Burmese. She's part of the Karen tribe, which was subject to genocide by the Myanmar Republic. And her family escaped, her mom and her two siblings, and she escaped to Hartford and was resettled, was fortunate enough to get into Grace Academy. She sat down and took the test, and now she's KC1 HCK, 13 years old. Very, very impressive. You would meet her and you would talk to her and engage her as an adult because she's very much an adult.